Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Yes, hour number four on a Friday. It is not going to last near that long, though, because 6:30 is Friday night countdown, getting you ready for high school football. But we're trying to get you ready for Texas and Oklahoma. Not that anybody really has to do that, because it's Texas and Oklahoma for the 115th time. We've been breaking it down this afternoon here on the roundtable from Twin Peaks in Addison, 5260 Beltline Road. And I'm sure a lot of people on Dirty Sixth have this story. Remember that time when it all just boiled down to you and Brad Kellner? What's up, Brad Kellner?
I don't know if that's ever happened. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. If you're stuck with me, that means your night took a wrong turn.
Come
somewhere.
Come on, sir. Are you kidding me?
Nah, man, we're doing well. I love getting up here. I mean, of course, I grew up in Dallas, so it's always good to get back here. Yep. And see some old friends and some familiar faces. But just being up here for this weekend, man, it's awesome. It's special. Yep. And Twin Peaks, it's just embodies the entire city right now. There's a whole bunch of OU fans here. There's a whole bunch of Texas fans here. I mean, everywhere you go in this city for the next 24 hours, really 48 hours, you're going to see some burnt orange and some crimson and cream. It's just a special weekend. It's not just at the fair. It's not just at the Cotton Bowl. It invades this city, which is one of the biggest cities in the world. It's crazy how much this city buys into this game. It's great.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, people screaming Texas, people screaming Boomer, and it's going to happen. You're right, all the way through the game tomorrow. We've talked about it. We've broken things down. You're going to give your official pick tomorrow on the pregame show. I'm going 41-31 Texas, and there's a lot of different things we talked about with this game. Real quick, though, since you are a Longhorn fan, as you mentioned, a Dallas area kid, let me just throw some ideas at you, because everybody likes to talk every year about what do we change and what do we keep the same with this game.
Okay.
So we'll go rapid fire with you. Moving the game home and home, yes or no?
See, I've got a theory. I'm not really helping your rapid fire here.
That's okay. It could be a less rapid fire.
I would be a fan of, and people will hate me for this, and I've already brought this up before, and I know people do hate me for this. I want 8 out of 10 years, I want the game to be at the Cotton Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But I want one home and home per decade. I want one time every 10 years where they have to come to Austin, and one time every 10 years where Texas has to go to Norman. That's it. I don't want to take this whole game out. I don't want to make it a home and home. I don't want to put it in Jerry World. I don't want to get rid of the Cotton Bowl. But I just think it'd be fun every once in a while for these two teams to actually have to play a true road game against one another.
The hell is wrong with you?
Sorry, man.
Oh, my God. That's an interesting idea. What if...
It's not an environment like A&M in Arkansas at Jerry World.
You know? No,
so
no,
that's,
not that.
We can't take that game out of Jerry World.
Good
that's
Lord.
Historic, man.
How about this one? Just because I think Kevin Dunn might be driving and listening right now, and I'll see if I can make his head explode. How about the highest-ranked team going into the Big 12 title game gets to host it, so the second one could be a home-and-home? So the second one could be at a home site.
Oh, you mean, well, what if it's not Texas and Oklahoma?
I'm saying whoever it is, but if it ended up as Texas and Oklahoma, higher-ranked team gets to host.
I like the neutral site bit for conference championships.
No, you're right. You're right.
This isn't America East college basketball here.
Okay.
We're not playing at U Albany, all right? Come on, man.
So that's your idea there. Okay, let me throw out
U Vermont.
How about the wacky idea that I tweeted at CDC? He said no. He said, I don't want to mess with tradition. You know how you Longhorns are with tradition. I want to resize the golden hat so it fits human beings. I need it at an 8 or an 8.5. Your thoughts?
What is human beings? Some big heads out there, man. Heads comes in all shapes and sizes. So what is the neutral, generic hat size that you're looking for?
Again, apparently we need it at
a... Do we need a flex fit?
Maybe we need
flex
fit.
Do we need a snapback?
It's a real...
Velcro?
It's a real hat. For people that don't know, it's not made of metal.
Right.
It's a real hat coated in gold.
That's real gold.
I've literally only seen maybe one or two players wear it where it doesn't look stupid. The quarterback of the winning team needs to be able to put it on his head and have it look normal. It's unique. It's the only wearable trophy in all of college athletics that I can think of. That's what we need to do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't hate your idea there at all.
See?
It's a hat.
Okay.
You're supposed to wear a hat, right?
I got a Longhorn on my side, Rod Babers.
But how do you?
When I walked in, I walked back
in. You knew what I was talking about.
I knew Chad was so passionately talking. I was like, he's talking about that damn hat again.
The damn hat.
But no, when you have a great idea, which you do have. I agree. You should push it.
You like it.
Yeah, you should push that hat.
Yeah.
I agree. So, I never thought about it, but yeah, you should be able to wear the damn hat.
Again, let's have it where it doesn't come from me. I'm just throwing the discussion out. You Longhorn folk figure it out.
Yeah, the Aggie can't drop that in.
Correct.
I'm going to automatically hate that idea. Because
right.
It came from
I just need to see it fit one day, yeah, man. I would love to see that fit. Okay, so there's an idea too. But
that's a good idea.
Yet another idea, the one Kevin always shoots me down on because he says the two fan bases can't handle it.
Oh, no.
Gentlemen.
Oh, no. Don't bring this. Just stop.
Can we get a 7 o'clock kick for this
Boom.
Game?
I'm
no,
on board with
you
that. 100%.
These fans, either one of them cannot be trusted as 7 p.m. kick.
You can't trust them?
There is not enough jail capacity in any of the communities. In Addison
Do you know,
or
you guys
Allen
know.
Or there's
no.
not enough jail space
no.
for all of the Sooners and fans who will go to jail if they have this kick.
You're saying I can trust Michigan and Ohio State fans
yes.
to go to Columbus at night?
Yes.
And
yes.
But I can't trust these two?
No.
Oh.
See, he knows.
Man agrees right there. He says yes.
People will get shanked. People will get stabbed.
This rivalry needs one thing. This rivalry needs one thing.
What is it?
Casualties.
Exactly.
Right now, there is a debate.
I'm not trying to get anybody killed.
Right now, there is a debate on what the best rivalry is in college football. If you have casualties or a jail toll number at this game every year, there's no more debate. Texas OU is the best rivalry in
you
all
think
sports.
That'll put it over
no.
the top?
I'm not promoting it.
Family? No, I
I'm just
either.
Saying that's an accurate
thing.
We have
give
to be
it a
family
shot.
Friendly still because kids uh-huh. are coming. I don't.
Now nah, 21 plus.
Dude, you can't have. There's a reason they don't have this game late. Trust me.
I know the reason. I know the reason.
And the reason is because they know people would get killed yeah. and stabbed and shot.
Okay.
And plus, you're at the fairgrounds at, you know,
yes.
not a great part of town
yes.
when you're leaving the stadium
Dude.
At 11 or
now,
midnight.
Okay, now, wait a minute.
We'd
I've heard.
We be the version dangerous. Of ourselves, and we don't need that.
I've heard an argument about that part of Dallas might not be trusted.
I've heard that.
It's the fact of the Longhorns and Sooners not being trusted that's interesting to me. That people are
yeah.
literally saying, we don't trust you,
you
to
should.
Drink all day,
nope.
go to that game,
nope.
and leave in the dark.
Nope.
Okay,
no, don't trust
so
him.
Rod, give me another quick one from a player's perspective.
Don't trust him.
Forget about the fans. Do you think you could have made it to 7 o'clock with everything that this game means? Do you think you could have gotten that far into your day, or
wow.
does it need to be at 11 so the players can just get to it?
I think you actually. I like that too. Yeah, because you got a hard time dealing with the pent up.
Right.
Like
could you have stood that all day long?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch it. Other teams play. Like I don't know if you would do that for Texas OU. But for other games, you're fine. But
all right.
there's so much buildup for Texas OU. Yeah, you got to release that, man. You need to release.
Tell you what,
early.
Coming up, I got another idea after I tell you about my favorite light beer in the world, because I know one idea I'm going to have a little bit later is a Coors Light. Rocky Mountain Cold Goodness, 102 calories per 12 ounces. And you know what? It does happen to be the official light beer of the Texas Longhorns. I have no idea what the official light beer of the Oklahoma Sooners is. And you know what? I don't care because it doesn't matter because it's all about Coors Light this weekend. And you know what? They've got beer vendors inside the Cotton Bowl. Wait a minute. We're trusting Longhorns and Sooners to go to the game and sit there and order beer and drink it and watch the game? Imagine that. Order yourself up a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light for me. Get yourself a Coors Light back at Pluckers. The link, if you're in Austin, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, reminds you to do it responsibly. Get your DD. Get your ride share. Never kick at 7 o'clock. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. All right, Brad Kellner.
Yes, sir.
Here's something else I'm willing to offer up as a third-party observer. You let me know if you want it. Every other year.
You okay over there?
I'm good.
Okay.
Every other year, do you want the tunnel? Every other year, home team gets the tunnel. What do you think?
I mean, you'd have to flip. You can't flip the tunnel, so you'd have to put the Texas side on the other half of the field.
Well, they do
every
teach y'all
year.
Stuff at UT. Yes,
you like
you're
that?
Right. You can't flip the tunnel. Correct. I'm saying you have to move to the other
side. I don't know.
Side
with
the
all
stadium.
The construction that happens around these parts, maybe you could do some construction every year. I hadn't thought about that. I don't know if I've ever thought about that. I'm going to Rod on this one first, as the guy who had to run out of that tunnel bunch of OU fans.
So they moved the tunnel?
I'm saying every other year, Texas gets the tunnel end so that the fans can be around the tunnel. Now, Casey Studdard says he loves that OU gets the tunnel because you get that animosity and it fires you up.
Yeah, I don't mind coming out of the tunnel.
So you want to leave it alone?
Yeah, I don't mind coming out of the tunnel. It's because let's be honest, the game is in Texas.
Right.
We don't want to bring that up because it's a natural advantage. The game is in Texas. So, yeah, give them somewhat of an advantage, which would be at least they can cheer and boo their team and Texas team coming out of the tunnel. So I'm cool with that because basically we're the hosts every year. We don't say that.
Sure.
But we host the Sooners every year. They come down here.
Yep.
Not only to steal Texas players because they don't have any in Oklahoma, but also to win that game.
Now, y'all have noticed that Oklahoma is north of Texas, but Texas sits on the north end and Oklahoma sits on the south end. Y'all have noticed that, right?
Only you and
y'all have noticed that? That's my OCD. I'm just wondering.
Only you would pay attention to that stuff, but yeah.
If you think I can tell north from south, you're badly mistaken.
That is true. That is so true. All right, so let's get a couple more takes on this game here before we are done. Let's finish off with quarterbacks. These guys are so amazing. Certainly after 2 years of Sam versus a villain, we could argue, this kid doesn't feel like a villain. Jalen Hurts and the story and what he's trying to pull off here. After tomorrow's game, Jalen Hurts is going to have a perspective that no other college football player will have ever had. It's got to be in history, right?
No, I agree.
Starting quarterback at Bama in the Iron Bowl, in Atlanta, and in a national title game, and then he gets to be a quarterback in this ball game.
Agreed.
Brad, he's going to have a hell of a resume after tomorrow afternoon.
Well, I don't know if there's a more motivated player in all of college football this year than Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's on a mission to prove everybody wrong. Nick Saban and the folks at Alabama, but also the rest of the country, he got kind of embarrassed. I mean, national championship game at halftime, he gets benched, and a true freshman comes in and wins the game and takes over the job from him. He's 26-2 as a starter, and he loses the job altogether. Like, that's kind of embarrassing. So Jalen Hurts is on a mission to prove everybody wrong. He's also playing for money. He's his last year in college football. He wants to be playing on Sundays. So, man, he's really, really good. You mentioned it. And Texas fans are trying to make Jalen Hurts a rival. Right? I saw Jalen Hurts was asked about the – you know, you haven't played in Texas OU before, and he kind of said, well, I played in big games. I played in the Iron Bowl. I played in the SEC Championship. Like, I played in big games before, and I agree with him. Like, he has played in big games. He's not going to be fazed by this atmosphere at all tomorrow, as much as Texas fans want him to be. I'll tell you what, just as a college football fan, this year has sucked for me because I love Jalen Hurts. I really enjoy watching him play, but I also love what he represents in an age of the transfer portal when people at their first sight of competition, they just get up and leave their program. That was a guy who was willing to be a good teammate and stick it out at Alabama despite being embarrassed in the most embarrassing way, despite his head coach going to the tabloids kind of trashing him. He stuck it out. So him being at Oklahoma, you know, I'm not going to root for anybody on Oklahoma, but he's a likable player. He's really, really talented. And, man, it's a hell of a quarterback matchup. I mean, you got two of the top five Heisman contenders right now in college football duking it out.
And, Rod, what he hopes tomorrow is that time with Dan Enos and staying at Alabama, what Brad's talking about, that it pays off in big ways because he shows people that he, with his arm, can beat Texas because just his feet will not beat Texas tomorrow.
Well, he's dealing with some of the same stereotypes, right, that Sam Ehlinger had to deal with. Remember last year, everybody's like, Bam Bam Sam, baby. He's a mini Tim Tebow. And we're like, well, I think he throws the ball better than Tim Tebow. We're like, well, I don't know about all that. This year, what have we seen from Sam? We haven't seen Bam Bam Sam as much. We've seen Sam the thrower, Sam the passer. And
slinging Sam.
Right, slinging Sam. I like that. Yeah. Now he's breaking that stigma, that stereotype. I think Jalen Hurts with Lincoln Riley is doing the same. I'll give you some numbers real quick. Compared to Sam Bradford, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, last three Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Got a ton of them.
Scary.
He has a higher completion percentage, a higher yards per attempt. He has more rushing yards per game, more rushing touchdowns, more total yardage, more touchdowns than either one of those previous Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks through the first five games. He's having a better first five games than Baker, Kyler, or Sam Bradford. First five games.
All right, so dial me up.
He's the best version of himself with Lincoln Riley.
You talked earlier about needing to pass against a Todd Orlando defense on first down.
Yeah.
Give me a pass that you like for Jalen Hurts. If you're Lincoln Riley, what are you dialing up against this Texas defense? What type of throw do you want to put him in?
Oh, first of all, it's got to be a play-action pass. Play-action pass numbers for Jalen Hurts, completing 83% of his play-action passes. That's better than Baker Mayfield and better than Kyler Murray.
Jeez,
seven touchdowns,
83?
Zero interceptions, baby. First play of the game, first down, I play-action pass, and I'm going deep downfield to Rambo or to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, you're testing those Texas corners,
testing those
right?
And how about this? His deep passing, he has five deep passing touchdowns, 20 yards or more. That's more than he's had in any time in his career, only through six games. He set a career high in deep passing touchdowns already, throwing the football vertically downfield. And if you have a clean pocket against Jalen Hurts, he's completing, I think, 76% of his passes with a clean pocket. I'm telling you, he's legit. He's legit as a passer.
Yep.
Texas will have to try to find a way to mitigate the damage he's going to do through the air.
Brad, turning to Sam, I love how comfortable he is in this offense. Those third and short, that's what I'm watching in this game too. Third and five or less, I feel like both these quarterbacks are so comfortable. What are you looking for from Sam tomorrow? What kind of throws would you like? Because he's going to have to throw a lot and hit a lot of big plays.
Yeah, Sam's going to be awesome. And I think we'll see more designed runs for Sam Ehlinger than we've seen just about in any game this year. They've been protecting him a little bit, dealing with a little bit of a rib injury. They've been saving up some design runs for this game. And last year, he had at least 15 carries in each of the games against Oklahoma. So Sam's going to be doing a lot with his legs. But you're right, man. I mean, you're confident in him making any throw on the football field. He's just developed that much as a passer. He's a hell of a player. I'm glad you brought up the third down stats because I think that's an important factor, determining factor of who wins tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Texas is the number one third down offense in college football right now. Oklahoma's the number eight ranked third down offense in college football. Both of these offenses are going to move the ball. Both of these offenses are going to put up points. But who can get off the field on third down? Whether it's forcing punts, whether it's forcing field goals, whoever's defense can get off the field on third down is going to win this football
game.
And
Oklahoma is number five in third down.
I was about to bring it up.
In the country right now, yeah.
And
you got number five. I got number 10. You got number five.
I got number five.
I'm seeing five.
Top five.
And
okay.
In Texas, I'm seeing as 89th. In third down defense,
yep.
40%. I don't know exactly what that means.
They haven't faced the same competition, but that's big.
And OU's converting 56% of their third downs. Again, how much of it is real based on what I have seen? It is really easy to convert third downs if the defense you're facing either doesn't care, isn't good enough, or isn't prepared, or isn't near you.
Yep.
And I've seen all of that. I mean, I'm sorry, Houston, Tech, Kansas. I've just watched a lot of dudes in Crimson running free.
I think B.J. Foster feels the same way, and he feels the same way because I've been telling him, he's been watching the same film you've been watching, that they believe that Oklahoma offense hasn't been totally tested. Third down, so really quickly, Sam Ehlinger, one of seven quarterbacks in the FBS to complete more than 50% of his third down passes. He actually leads the country in third down passing completion percentage and conversion at 58% of his third down passes are converted into first downs. Joe Burrow is second at 52%.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
a third down machine.
And he's a big play. Yeah. He's a big game quarterback. I mean, he shows up in games like this. Even his freshman year, which was kind of an up-and-down year for Sam Ehlinger. I mean, against Oklahoma, if Sam Ehlinger doesn't get hurt on that final drive, like Texas is – down by five against Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma, that OU team that went to the Final Four. Texas might win that football game. Sam obviously showed up last year, maybe his best game as a Longhorn in this Red River Shootout. He's going to be ready to go tomorrow.
Sam,
nothing's going to
Buccelli couldn't
him.
Win it. Buccelli could have won it. We see now Buccelli at SMU balling.
You know, we saw Garrett Gilbert ball at SMU too. He couldn't ball at Texas. A little bit different.
Buccelli's our version of Jalen Hurts, though. Longhorn fans are rooting for him.
What, are you turning him into an Italian Buccelli? Andrea Buccelli.
But the Bama fans are rooting for Jalen Hurts. Longhorn fans are rooting for Buccelli.
Oh, for sure.
If you go back in time a little bit, Brad, you and I were talking about this game earlier, a game where Jalen Hurts' feet ended up winning a ball game. There was a close game with A&M a couple years ago where when Trevor Knight was at A&M, Aggies up 14-13, like late third quarter. In the end, Hurts had 21 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown. He didn't go crazy, but he had some big runs, big moment runs. That's what I'm looking for tomorrow also from these two guys. If it's third and five or less, I feel like they're going to figure it out no matter what. Like that play last week with West Virginia where Sam waited and waited and waited and waited, and it was like, oh, hell, this is mine.
I got it.
I'm good.
Do we all think Texas has the quarterback advantage in this game tomorrow?
Yes.
I do, but I don't think it's a
– I'm trying to think. Like, when's the last time Texas has had, like, an obvious quarterback advantage against Oklahoma? And I'm not even sure tomorrow's is obvious.
That's what I said. I don't think it's obvious. Yeah. And, well, you've been playing against Heisman Trophy winning
exactly.
number one overall pick. So, right. Yeah,
like, this is the best. This is the best we felt about a quarterback matchup against Oklahoma in a while.
And this is the best dual threat quarterback in the country.
Probably,
probably this guy's probably like second or third in the Heisman race right now, and we're still saying that.
Colt had to be the guy, right? It had to be Colt and somebody you felt better about Colt.
Yeah.
I know it was Colt and Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford,
one time.
I was about to say, another number one overall.
But yeah, we were obviously confident
one,
right? in Colt.
Yeah, now you're right.
Sure.
Tyrone Swoops?
It wasn't Swoops. It wasn't Case. Maybe Case McCoy against Blake Bell. Maybe Blake Bell, quarterback
at OU.
Oh, that's
a good one. I forgot about Blake Bell.
Rod, I know he was your guy. Should have been Sims over Hibble. Damn.
It definitely should have been Sims.
Been.
Oh, God.
Sims over Don't Hibble.
Even Jeez. Sims will tell you that.
I'm sorry I brought that one up. Let's go one last thing here before we're done.
One last thing. Pittman!
Yeah, you're right. I mean, both fan bases have to be confident in their quarterbacks. But let's think about this, too. Sam Ellinger knows the feeling of losing it
Amen.
And winning it. He's done this twice.
Yep.
He's been through heartbreak, rip out my soul. I'm a kid from Austin that wanted to be the quarterback at Texas. And then last year, I get to wear the hat.
Yeah.
I get to watch Kyler Murray walk away. I get to call whatever I want to call him because he won't face me like a man. You know, man, that's where I give the advantage to Sam.
Yeah, it's a legacy game. And a guy who grew up a Longhorn fan, this is huge for Sam Ellinger. But if you're a quarterback at UT or OU, your record is – or your legacy is determined by how you do against those teams. Right now, Sam is 1-2 against Oklahoma. You know for a fact he wants to be at least over 500 by its all season.
Matt Brown always said, you come to Texas, you got to be ready to beat OU. That's your job.
Yep.
If you come to Texas.
He told me the same thing, too. Back
there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
I was a journalism recruit. A little bit different.
There it is. Also, remember Colin Johnson, hopefully back tomorrow for Texas, and John Burt playing Texas for like the 12th time tomorrow, playing Oklahoma for like the 12th time. Is that right?
It's six. He's the most scape of the modern
six,
Texas
I think. Yeah, right. I think this is six, they said this week. All right, thanks to everybody for making it possible. Thanks to Rod Babers and Brad and Aaron for hanging out for the roundtable. Love this day every year. Thanks to Kevin, of course, back in the studio. Remember, Pluckers, the link location tomorrow for the watch party. We'll be out at the Texas X's tent at 7 a.m. Thanks to the good folks here at Twin Peaks for hosting us. It's been a lot of fun. Twin Peaks in Addison, 5260 Beltline Road. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy Texas OU. You're going to hear the game right here on the Horn. Have a good one. See ya.
Now get Chuck and Joaquin.